very good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours, 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Sunday, April 12th, 2015. You're listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us this Sunday evening live from Washington. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Amongst our top stories this evening, Zimbabwe will this week host the third African Summit on Information Communication Technology at the Victoria Falls, which will be attended by over 50 countries and over 400 delegates. ICT expert Gadzira Chirumanzu says that this is a welcome move for the country.
This summit is very, very, very important in the sense that in terms of ICT, Africa is lagging behind. Hence, you will find that our daily lives at the present moment is ICT-driven.
An all-volunteer surgical team, Operation of Hope from the United States, will be offering free cleft lip and cleft palate surgeries for children and adults, and is calling for people to visit Harare Hospital on May the 10th for a screening process.
This will be Operation of Hope 15 clinician in Zimbabwe, and we are going to have our screening clinic at Harare Hospital, at the Children's Hospital, on the 10th of May from 08:30.
The Rural Teachers Association is castigating the move by alleged ZANU-PF supporters of harassing their members and demanding contributions for Independence Day celebrations.
We don't have a problem contributing to the two national, but we are trying to educate these people from ZANU-PF be able to draw a line between nationalism.
And as usual, we have the Youth Forum from Tatenda Gumbo. Zimbabwe will this week host the third African Summit on Information Communication Technology at the Victoria Falls, which will be attended by 50 countries and over 400 delegates. ICT expert Gadzira Chirumanzu says this is a welcome move to enable the technological advancement of the country. The summit will run from Tuesday to Thursday this week. Chirumanzu speaks to Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri on the issue.
This summit is very, very, very important in the sense that in terms of ICT, Africa is lagging behind. Hence, you will find that our daily lives at the present moment is ICT-driven. If you get to a shop in most advanced countries, you find that it's a question of swiping, and then you get your goods. But in Africa, you find that they are, in most cases, it is only the big cities where you get this kind of infrastructure. But now, we would want Africa to catch up with the advanced countries in terms of ICT. Because if we don't do that, definitely we'll have a problem. You find that nowadays, even if you want to board a plane, a bus, or whatever it is, you have to do it through e-ticketing. This is why you find that in Zimbabwe, we are approaching or we are towards what we call e-governance. This is because of ICT. So there are so many changes, even if you look at television broadcasting. So it is going towards digitalization, unlike the analog system. So there is a lot involved in ICT. Through ICT, you can even zoom your home area anywhere in the world using GPS. So it is all about ICT.
How far has Zimbabwe gone in ICT?
We wouldn't say we have done much, but I think if we are to compare Zimbabwe and other African countries, I would give a pam-pam to Zimbabwe, because you will find that we've got three major companies that are involved in ICT, that is in terms of communication. These companies are laying fiber, optic.
That was ICT expert Gadzira Chirumanzu speaking to Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri in Harare. An all-volunteer surgical team, Operation of Hope from the United States, will be offering free cleft lip and cleft palate surgeries for children and adults in Harare next month, and is calling for people to visit Harare Hospital on May the 10th for a screening process. The United States-based surgeons will be joined by local doctors for the operations. Zimbabwean volunteer for Operation of Hope, Martha Pamire, tells us more.
This will be Operation of Hope, our 15th mission in Zimbabwe, and we are going to have our screening clinic at Harare Hospital, at the Children's Hospital, on the 20th of May from 08:30 in the morning till late.
Tell us about what exactly you'll be screening for, and those that may be interested, what do they need to bring to this screening?
What we do is basically we are looking at facial deformities such as cleft lips and palates, and then any other which the group can actually help with to reconstruct. Anyone who plans to come to the hospital with any of these facial deformities, they have to bring, if they have any old cards or any medical cards they have, they should bring those ones to the hospital so that the surgeons will actually go through the history of the patient.
How many people are you actually planning to treat under this program, and is it for free or do people have to pay?
So for this mission, we are looking at approximately around 60 to 65 cases, which we plan to do for this mission. And then the surgeries are for free. And basically, we look at all age groups from children up to adults.
And do you have any preference as to where the people should be coming from, or is this open to everybody in Zimbabwe?
It's actually open to everyone in Zimbabwe.
Can you describe for us what is cleft palate, in case somebody out there is listening and they have this particular problem but they don't know that it can be treated?
In simple terms, a cleft palate is an opening in the mouth, like on the upper roof of the mouth. So most children born with that. And then a cleft lip is actually a cleft on the upper lip of the mouth.
What happens when a child or an adult has that? How does one identify that that is what they have and that they need to come in for a review to see if they can fit into your program?
People are actually born with it. So, like, on the day of the delivery, the nurse or the doctor will actually notice that this child has a cleft lip or a palate, and then they will have to inform the parents where to go to take their child for further medical investigations or health.
So, on the 10th, those that are interested in coming, where exactly do they go? Which department at the Harare Hospital? And who do they ask to see?
So, they'll have to come to Harare Hospital, and then they'll have to ask to go to the Harare Children's Hospital. That's where they have to come to.
Where would the surgeons that would be performing these operations be coming from, and would they be working with other local doctors?
The surgeons who will be doing these reconstructive surgeries are coming from the United States of America, and we are looking at other doctors, local doctors, helping them with the procedures.
That was a Zimbabwean volunteer for Operation of Hope, Martha Pamire, in Harare. The Rural Teachers Union of Zimbabwe is castigating the move by alleged ZANU-PF supporters of harassing their members and demanding contributions for the Independence Day celebrations. Union head Obet Masaraure tells us more on the issue.
I am a teacher at Kiamanda High School Station in Webster, in Maternal and the East. That is a preparation for the independence for ZANU-PF in 14. And like what has become their position, RRC and DDC, civil servants, teachers and other civil servants, to contribute to their partisan celebrations. And they are even going to the extent of threatening violence, all those civil servants will not be able to contribute to the occasion, which will be held on the 18th of April.
Who has actually come to ask you for contributions, and how much are they requiring from each teacher?
At the chairman of the high school, we had one who was being referred to Mofu, who claimed to be the chairperson of the particular district we come from, the chairman, who was moving around requesting each member to pay $5 towards the celebration, which he claimed to be a mandatory contribution for what he was ever seen there, getting salaries from Robert Mugabe. He wanted to articulate that this is a directive from the president that what he was ever should contribute towards that.
But what is wrong with you being asked to contribute? Will you not be going to the celebration since this is a national event?
What is the problem contributing to a national event? But we are trying to educate these people from Zanzibar to be able to draw a line between national events and partisan events. The important thing is abuse all national events. The need to go to the extent of abusing the national flag. So when we contribute to the money, we contribute towards independence. We are not contributing to Zanzibar to imagination. We don't have to go to a platform where we are forced to chant slogans and say things in Robert W. Mugabe. We are not members of Zanzibar, some of us. We are just teachers, we are civil servants, we are just citizens of this great country, Zimbabwe. So we will not contribute to anything that goes towards sustaining the otherwise shared Zanzibar party. In other words, we will be promoting their brand. Using our heart and mind, we appreciate it. When national events become pure national events, where our political parties are invited, and we celebrate as a people, and we are not called to praise one leader of the state party.
That was the Rural Teachers Union of Zimbabwe head, Obet Masaraure, in Wedza. This is Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. We're going out to you on the 4930, 4940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies and on the 909 medium wave or AM frequency. And coming up is the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo.
You are now listening to the Youth Forum, your forum focusing on your issues. Today, I'm gladly joined by Esther Masunda, who is the spokesperson for the National Blood Service Zimbabwe. National Blood Service Zimbabwe is pushing a campaign called Pledge 25 Club, which calls for youth in Zimbabwe to pledge to donate blood at least 25 times in their life. Esther, can you tell me more about the Pledge 25 Club and how it came to be?
Zimbabwe are the ones who developed the Pledge 25 Club concept. It was actually the youth themselves who came up with this concept in trying to find a way in which they could continue donating blood after they finished their high school. So the club was actually developed here in Zimbabwe as Pledge 25 Club, and the same concept has been copied in over 60 countries throughout the world. So the club does not just focus on blood donation alone, but they also focus on encouraging each other as youths in terms of living a low-risk lifestyle.
What other countries have followed this same model?
Well, I know that in other countries, we've got countries like South Africa. South Africa actually came up with Club 25, but they found that they only copied and pasted the concept. So they're actually looking at fine-tuning and coming up with something that can suit their country. We've also got countries like Tanzania, we've got countries like Ghana, who are actually also following suit. So you find that countries that have actually done that concept, they've done it but have faced challenges because they've just copied and pasted. But what actually needs to happen is that countries should actually look at the concept and see what can be applicable now in their own environmental set.
And how much impact is it making in Zimbabwe?
It's more than donating blood, and they've already celebrated 20 years. So that's the reason why we're also rebranding, because we feel that we need to remain on top of Zimbabwe and find other means and innovative ways of what the youths like, looking at the activities, looking at the incentives, what they like and what they think should be done in order for the club to improve.
And looking at the young people that are doing this program, how important has it been for them from what you're hearing on the ground? Are they saying that this is something that matters to them a lot?
It is something that actually matters to them a lot because they're very committed. We have people phoning from different parts of the country actually asking us you know, or just wanting to verify with us when the next event is going to be. So I think the club has impacted a lot on them, because they also actually learn how to volunteer, which is something which is very important. We've actually got successful people who have actually been through the club, who've actually graduated as Pledge 25 and are actually doing very well even in life. So the club actually encourages the youth to especially lead a low-risk lifestyle and have very important social values that they actually take with them even as they go into adulthood.
And you spoke about the young people and this program also helping them live a low-risk lifestyle. Can you talk about that and what exactly that means?
When they're having the activities like for blood donation, when they come and visit the centers or panels to donate, we actually normally have a resource persons who come and talk to the youth in trying to address some of the challenges that they face as youth and encouraging them on living a low-risk lifestyle. At each one of our branches, we've got trained counselors who are also there to assist the youth should the need arise in terms of counseling them in some of these areas. So in terms of living the low-risk lifestyle, it's also about the company that when they're together as youth, who know that in order for them to donate blood, they need to be HIV negative. They can actually even encourage one another as youths in terms of what activities that they should do, and they should desist from engaging in very ungodly behavior.
And can you give our listeners information on how they can join the Pledge 25 Club if they're interested in doing so?
Well, if they're wanting to join the club, they can actually visit any one of our branches, and especially when the Pledge 25 are having the activities, there's actually a public relations officer at each one of our branches. There's also a Pledge 25 Club member who is also there, who represents the branch. So they'll be able to actually get more detailed information, and they'll also actually be put on the Pledge 25 database so that when they're having activities, they actually receive an invitation.
Thank you, Esther, for joining me today on the Youth Forum.
Thank you.
That was Esther Masunda, spokesperson of the National Blood Service Zimbabwe, on the Youth Forum. This is Tatenda Gumbo, and hope you'll join me next week.
Zuva parino buda nemufaro ndenge ndakaguta kuguchei aripo anondifudza ndofugama ndichimukudza saka handityi mepo kundipedza simba handidi iyambe uye nodzoka shure handisi dai pano pasi paityisa mwari vakaenda neni inini ndakakosha hungu zvingakosha zuva kupisa zvaro asi hapana paringazombokocha. Oh gosh, mwari ambodisiya, unotemeiko hama musandityira, ukutai misodzi kungoma kwenzira, kuti tinokunda mwari vanoziva. Angwe pakao mandi chapapinda ndeko, ndirwise muvengi wanetoreko, pauna ndiro vambama ndokupari mwedama, usatsunye nyatsokudira mucheka. Hapana chandinotadza, mabvindi nao ndongopfugama, ndichazama, zvakadzama. Kusvikira ndapasa zama saka handityi mepo kundipedza simba handidi iyambe uye nodzoka shure handisi dai pano pasi paityisa mwari vakaenda neni inini ndakakosha hungu zvingakosha zuva kupisa zvaro asi hapana paringazombokocha ko chekutya handina kana mweya wangu uchikutina.
Interesting and very inspiring sounds there from Toki Vibes with Handi Chki, bringing our Sunday bulletin to an end. But before we close off, now to recap on our top stories. Zimbabwe will on Tuesday host the third African Summit on Information Communication Technology at Victoria Falls, which will be attended by 50 countries and over 400 delegates. And an all-volunteer surgical team, Operation of Hope, from the United States will be offering free cleft lip and cleft palate surgeries for children and adults in Harare next month. That's the news in English from Studio 7 this Sunday evening, April the 12th, 2015. Thank you for joining me this evening. This is Marvelous Mplanga Nyahuye in Washington, wishing you a pleasant evening, a very good night, and a great week ahead. And I'll leave you with Standard Kile Mhlanga with the Ndebele News.